Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a Better Late Than Never episode of the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is Sam.
Hey man, and we are back again, man. Listen, y'all have been DMing. We done got some angry messages. Folks been hot. We were told we were hiding because Mike was good. There's a lot happening out there, man. I keep telling y'all, it's just me and Sam. There's no operation. there's no operation, man. It's just me and him. Ain't no production manager, ain't no team. We ain't nobody to call in the event that. I mean, every time you don't see, you know what I mean, a guest, one of us ain't here, and the guest is here, because it's just like luckily happened that way. You know what I mean? Like we made the right call at the right time, and somebody was free. Yeah. But listen, we definitely want to get on here and talk about it, man. So yeah, but life things happen, man, and so we had to, you know, we're a few days late, man. But
yeah, listen. It's actually funny to me, but I'd be kind of blow back sometimes, like damn, people really care about what I think. That's really wild to me sometimes. When you just sit back and think about it.
It'll never make sense to me. Like,
well, I mean, it makes sense. I keep telling
you, no, I ain't even talking about like make sense. I mean, like, you got like, when you think about when we started it, it was just like me and you was just kind of sitting around, like, hey, I mean, we were on Twitter, just kind of have a conversation. And then you was like, hey, bro, we should do a pod. All right. And I think that first episode was like 3 hours long. We never got it out. Like, I don't know what we were talking about. And then, you know what I mean? I think the second we just put it out. And then we had, you know, like first five listeners. Appreciate y'all, whoever y'all is, you know what I mean? Like, y'all should get t-shirts or something. Y'all wanted the first five. It was just on SoundCloud.
Right.
And then we kind of matured into, you know, the audience that we have now, man, that's constantly growing. And we appreciate it, man. But I keep telling y'all, it's just us, you know what I mean? So I'm probably going to miss the Florida game part. I'm having a son next week, man. I'm going to miss it next week. Yeah. If we win, I don't want nobody to think that I'm not happy that Mike won, that, you know what I mean? Like, look at Brandon mad that they finally beat Florida. He ain't got nothing to say. Listen. My son is being born, so any day now, man. I'm just letting y'all know that's gonna take precedent over the pod. So it's gonna take precedent, period. Like, I'm just letting y'all know how that is. Now, I appreciate it. We'll get my takes out at some point in the off season. Y'all will hear how I feel, but let me tell you, we beat Florida. Just know I'm gonna be just excited as everybody else. I already got my son the a Florida State onesie and his blanket, so we're gonna be representing for real. But
I've been It's been a rough couple 2 weeks for me. I don't like to get into my personal business on and stuff, but you know, I just had, you know, granddad went into hospice and stuff, and you know, we just trying to get the house, you know, the house situated for him. And then you know, my son got sick this weekend, so I got to stop the thing with him this weekend, and I'm still running this pressure washer business. So you know, I'm just flatly worn out, to be honest with you. But you know what? So I don't want people to think that, you know, personally, I'm happy that they're winning games. Honestly, I think we predicted them to have a pretty good season this year. So I don't know.
I'm pretty positive. Prediction. We were the only ones who said, I think they were going to go 5-0 in this back half. Like, I think it was a few people who wished for 5. I think we were one of the few that kind of stood on the ledge.
I think it was pretty positive early on before the season even started. We thought they could win eight to nine games, that we thought the schedule set up pretty good for them. So nothing they're really doing to me currently is all that surprising, to be honest with you, to me.
That's where me and you going to disagree, right? Because I expected them to win games. But I expected them to win a whole lot of close games, right? I thought they were still trying to figure out how to win. I thought there was a lot of – I think we saw it early on, right? They was figuring out how to win. But I think what has impressed me is you want to be playing your best football at the end of the season. And they are playing their best football at the end of the season. I mean, it's not that they're just walking into teams and beating them. They're walking into teams that absolutely dominating in every aspect of the game. Your field goal kicking is improved. Your running game is improved. Your running backs have improved. Wide receivers have improved. Your O-line is dominating. I mean, just absolutely nasty. You know what I mean? You got pancake blocks. It's one of the best units on the team. You can play zone. You know what I mean? Again, I had given up on the fact that they may actually have the ability to play zone. They can play zone. They got the linebackers are playing, the defensive line. You got young guys flashing. I'm trying to find the area where I'm saying this is where they're lacking at. You know what I mean? And that's the part that I think for me is impressive, because I didn't see them being here when the season started. And I definitely didn't see them being here before the season started.
I think two things are true with FSU right now with this back half of the schedule. One part of it is they are playing better, right? Mm-hmm. They are playing better. They're healthier. They look better, right? That's one part of it, right? Another part of it is they're not playing the good teams. I mean, Georgia Tech was a walking dead, you know. Syracuse, bunch of injuries, walking dead also. Mm-hmm. You know, Miami, injury galore, walking dead also. Mm-hmm. You know, but granted, you are putting them away, so that does count for something that you're not playing with your food. So that's a good thing, right? And we'll take the wins anywhere we get them. But I think two things are true, you know. Catching teams at the right time is important. It does leave a lot of what if, right? If you'd have been healthy early in the season, could you have beat Wake Forest? Quite frankly, I still don't know how you lost to NC State. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I think that, you know, that was a learning experience for the coach and the players. So, I think two things are true. I think they are playing good football, and I also do think that they're playing bad football teams at the end, too. And I also think the ACC is, when we said this, like, really early on in the season, that it's not a good conference. It's not a good conference. Like, Wake Forest has now lost four games. Not a good, you know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Yeah, now, I agree with you on the point of these teams that we thought were going to be better have run into some injury luck, right? But has that not been Florida State? This is, like, I feel like the last – 3, 4, 5, 6 years, it seems like before the season's out. Yeah, you know what I mean? Before the season's out, it feels like our season been done with injuries. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we definitely would take it. I'm just saying in general, I think two things are true. You know what I'm saying? I think two things are true at the same exact time, and I think that's okay. And I think this team, this coaching staff needed this type of luck. And we said that, you know, to get back where they need to get at, he needed to have a good season. To have a good season, he needed some good injury luck, right? He needed to catch teams at the right time. And I thought the schedule set up nicely for that, and I think they're taking advantage of it. And I think that's the more important point, is that they are taking advantage of playing bad teams and beating up on bad teams.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is, again, we didn't think we'd be talking about this, you know what I mean, but I'm glad to. Would you rather have one of a good bowl matchup, you know what I mean, playing Alabama in the Gator Bowl, or would you want, you know what I mean, give me Arizona State, you know what I mean, in Orlando for basically a guaranteed layup, you know what I mean? Like,
I want a guaranteed layup, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's football is so funny to me, because I think I put out FSU looks like a top 10 team, and Roe had put out, like, I don't know about top 10, top 15-ish, right? And I wanted to fight back on him on that argument that he was making, but then I kind of looked and I thought about it, like, damn, I think he's right, because we, you know.
Let me ask you this. Right. Are you even arguing a difference in teams, right? Because if you look at the top 10 versus the top 15, all of them teams are beatable. I mean, I would say all the way up until Georgia, Ohio State, USC.
Really?
All of them teams can be, you know what I mean? All of them teams.
I don't think so. I think if you play Michigan, I think Michigan will beat you by two to three scores. I think.
See, and I don't look at Michigan. I can't say we won't beat Michigan. And I don't think there's anybody outside of, my opinion, Georgia, USC, who did I just say, roll off. I think Tennessee is a tough one.
These are the top 10 teams right here that I got up here. They got Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU,
I think we can beat Michigan. I think we beat TCU.
LSU, USC.
Hard to beat them.
USC, Alabama, Clemson, Utah.
Alabama, Clemson, Utah.
I think you could beat Utah.
I think Alabama, Clemson, Utah. I think we can beat, and Michigan out of that top 10. I think you can beat. Like, all right, so go to 15.
I don't think you beat Alabama, dude.
I'm not saying about, we will beat Alabama. I think we have a very good chance.
We get into a conversation of trench play, right? This is what I'm trying. This is my point.
But our trenches is playing. Now, I get you right. Not the same competition as Alabama. I know you're going to say that. Okay. I know. Not the same trenches as Alabama.
Not the same as Michigan. Those trenches are better.
If we have an opportunity to play Michigan, I would line up Michigan. I think we're beating that ass.
Okay.
Alabama, okay. I'm not so confident. I think we are in a good fight with Alabama.
Out of the top 10 teams, I think the only team I will for certain circle and say you will win that game is probably Utah.
We definitely beat Utah. Florida beat
currently.
Utah.
Right, currently. I think the way it sits right now, you could beat Utah.
Yeah, I think we beat Utah. All right, so if you get to the top 15.
Now you go on to Penn State, Oregon, North Carolina, Ole Miss. I don't know about that. Ole Miss, Washington, UCLA, and you stop at 16 with UCLA, which I think if you play UCLA, I don't think you would beat UCLA. I don't think you'd beat Washington. I don't think you'd beat Ole Miss. I don't think because of the way North Carolina plays stylistically, throwing the football a lot, I don't think he'll beat North Carolina. Oregon, I think you probably could beat Oregon. Penn State,
matter of fact, what Amateur Overload just said in the comments is really what is kind of what I'm saying, right? We might not beat Bama. Ole Miss was able to play with Bama, and I think we could play with Ole Miss. Ole Miss and Bama would all play in a very close game.
You know
what?
This show is going to turn into a first take, Skip Bayless and what's her name show. So I'm going to just stop.
I don't understand what you're saying, Skip. I mean, I'm
yeah, see, it's going to be kind of a first take situation because I think what we're missing is, this is a big part of what we're missing.
Marcus said it too. Yeah.
Teams that have had success against Florida State with this defense, out of Fuller's defense, are teams that can throw the ball vertically down the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong?
I'm gonna say the old defense. I'm for real. I don't want to be prisoner of the last three games because you're right.
But you can only go based off what you've seen. So I get why people are looking at it and saying, because
I do think they've improved, right?
Let me say this. When I put the statement out, this is like a top 10 team if they was healthy. In the moment, I'm watching the Syracuse game like, these dudes are dominating Syracuse. And then when Rowe was like, well, go look at the top 10, go look at the top 15, count how many teams you think they would beat on a neutral field. I'm like, I looked at it, I was like, okay, damn. Like, oh, damn. This team is better than the trenches. This team got elite wide receivers that could
get the ball down. Was LSU better than the trenches?
Who?
LSU, were they better than the trenches?
We said before the LSU game, they started a bunch of true freshmen up front. We said this on the offensive line, right?
Yes.
Their best defensive lineman got hurt early in that game. That left them scrambling with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We won by a block field goal, a block extra
but
that, point.
But it should have been more, though.
Can I finish?
Okay, go ahead.
I want to finish. We won by a block extra point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was with them muffing the football twice and putting us in field position to basically blow them out.
So the game's got to be played.
Right, but my whole point is I just think that when you look at some of these teams and say, well, how good is Florida State compared to I think the scheduling matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think where you play teams matter. But overall, I think because of where the schedule's at, you can win enough games where it looks like you're a top 12, top 10 team, which I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
But see, I think you're arguing where they are versus where – you say, all right, if they're they are realistically a top 10 team, but you don't think they should be a top 10.
I think they could end up. I think had they handled their business in some of these games like NC State,
mm-hmm.
baby Wake Forest. I still think the way Wake Forest plays is hard for Florida State to beat Wake Forest because of the way they play. Teams that have 3 and 4 good wide receivers that throw the ball, that can consistently throw the football down the field, they struggle with these teams because of the scheme. Like, this is not nothing new. This is
okay,
but you played against teams that cannot stretch the football field.
Now let me ask you this: if we played not LSU, but if you played Clemson, NC State, and Wake Forest again, like we just lined them up over the next 3 weeks before Florida, you don't think Florida State go back and beat all three of them? I think they're playing a different brand of football right now than what they played in the first half.
I think Lovett makes those games more interesting, but I think overall you still lose those games.
See, and I don't. I think, again, Clemson may be the only one that I'm like,
The O-line hasn't changed. The O-line is still the O-line.
And that's why I disagree. The O-line is still the O-line, but the O-line has improved.
They play less competition.
But they also are improving.
Because they play less competition.
See, I think regardless of the competition, the O-line is better playing now than they absolutely were playing at the beginning of the season. You want to be playing your best football. I think they are playing their best football. And the teams aren't very good. But I still think if you lined up some of the good teams and put them in front of them, I think based on the way they've been playing, I think they beat them. I think if you were playing NC State next week instead of the Raging Cajuns, you beat NC State and you beat them handily.
So you think?
If you go back and play Wake Forest again next week, you beat Wake Forest handily. Ooh, Clemson is the only one where I can say, I don't know about that. I'm just saying. I think the way this team is playing, I think it's reasonable to believe that they can beat any of the top tens minus a few.
I don't know about that.
I'm just telling you. This is what I've seen.
This conversation, and it made me come off as negative when I'm not being negative. But the point I'm trying to make is that O-line is that O-line. Okay, and I ain't got no problem with it. I have no problem with it. But I'm just saying, in general, you just look at the teams and the matchups and everything, and say, like, and I think with a lot of FSU fans, like, how many of y'all have watched Washington seriously? Because I've watched them 3 times this year.
I've watched them once.
Okay, and Penix is a damn good quarterback.
100%.
If he was in the ACC, he would probably be the second best quarterback after Drake May. Yep. That's how good he is. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a number one overall pick. I'm just saying, in that system, he's deadly. So, if you play Washington right now, you're going to have to get to 30 points because that's where they're going at. UCLA, physical football team.
Said as if we can't get the 30 points on Washington. Like, Washington might be really legit on offense, and right. I believe they're really legit on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe we're really legit on offense, and there ain't a stat out there that says to the contrary. Like, every stat out there says number one explosive plays, number one in this, number one, right. Number three in that, right. Number 10 in O-line, number, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, all the numbers say that we are also a legit offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at, there's, again, I said it earlier, and I thought we went through a lull. I don't know what happened, but I've said it earlier. I don't know what happened. But what I do believe, I think they're rolling at a time now where if you told me they got to put up 30, I believe they put up 31. You told me they had to score 40, I believe they can score 40.
Right. I think what y'all, okay, so we can't keep having this. We can't keep going on with this. I got to answer questions because we all at 18 minutes on this. But I think the problem with, I think with all of this is saying, the football team, FSU current football team is better. It's a better football team. They look good, okay? They beat down bad teams. These are bad teams. They're beating them down. That's a good thing. I'm not mad about that. Like, that's great.
You do realize they haven't allowed a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Right. They've done a good job. They have. They are a good football team. But I'm saying, when we talk about projecting them forward and saying, well, are they a top 10 team? You know, you just got on here and said you think they can line up with Bama. Like, that's.
I believe they can line up with Bama.
Okay.
I like what I'm saying? All
right. Okay.
No, right. I don't like the fact that I'm saying it, because you could go out there and get, like, boat raced by Bama in a bowl game. Mm-hmm. But I also believe you can walk into wherever you play at Bama at in the Gator Bowl, and which is a home game for the for Florida State. You can walk into the Gator Bowl and you can beat Bama.
So you
is
think
it likely? No. Do I would I pick them to beat Bama? No. Okay. But do I believe? But am I gonna just automatically rule out the possibility of them beating them? No. And that's all I'm saying.
So they'll
if it's 7%.
So they'll try.
It's 7%.
So they'll try. They'll try hard. They'll have a good plan. They'll try hard. They'll have a good
they
plan.
They will score first. They'll be in a fight for a little bit. Okay. They'll lose by 10.
So basically, it'll be like they was against Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson. All the team that had good trenches.
Again, early, you arguing the three losses. I'm arguing the three wins. All I'm saying is during the three wins, they somehow. Like Power Rangers have morphed into a different team. Yeah. They have now, like, you know what I mean? I can't explain it.
We got guys on the offensive line that haven't pancake blocked anybody.
Got guys who have?
Hold on, let me
and your
finish.
Wide receiver.
Can I finish?
You got guys
on the offensive line that haven't been good at blocking anybody for 2 years. All of a sudden they're pancake blocking Georgia Tech and pancake blocking Syracuse. Maybe that says something about us. Maybe that says something about Georgia Tech and Syracuse. I don't know. The truth is somewhere in the middle there. And I think if we all took a step back and looked in the mirror, I think we know the answer to that. I think we know the truth. But it's okay because we can live in this hypothetical, and it's fine.
No, the problem is we might not, though. We really might play Bama in the Gator Bowl. Like, yeah, I mean, we might get to the sea of the bowl game. You know what I mean? Like, and it get real ugly. So, again, I don't know that. I promise I have no clue whatsoever right now.
But I do think these teams in the top 10, other than Utah, I'm taking Utah out of it, but Utah haven't played the meat of their schedule quite yet. They did beat USC, though. But, I mean, top 15, like I said, we might be a top 15-ish team. I think you could put us over Utah. I think with Oregon, we could play a game with Oregon, I think, personally.
We beat Oregon. Oregon don't have no trenches.
Right. I'm just saying, maybe you could beat Oregon and maybe Utah. So maybe that puts you about 14, 13 in the country. I think that's about right. 13, 14 in the country. It's about where we are. Yeah.
That's why, right? I think we are. That's exactly why I think we are.
Right. But I do think it's levels when you get, like, when Rose said that, I didn't think about it. But then once I looked at the top 10, I'm like, kind of got a point, because Clemson eased off the clutch. That game was over by the third quarter. They took the accelerator off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I thought that's what I thought as well.
So you telling me, and we know Clemson ain't nowhere close to Bama, LSU, Tennessee, TCU, Ohio State. We know that Clemson are not close to those teams. We know that.
Right.
So, yeah, it makes sense. Like, I mean, theoretically.
So let me ask you this. We beating Florida?
I think that game's going to be a good game. And I know people – now, if they go out and blow Florida out, I'll have to raise my hand and say, man, that's a hell of a finish. But I do think that's going to be a good game. Because I do think AR is starting to play better. And I think that matters.
I think he's figured out that he's the best player on that team. And so he got
to – I also think he's starting to figure out when to run now.
And now, literally, the words I was going to say, and that means I got to take off.
Yeah,
y'all garbage, and I'm gonna take off. And that was the thing that we had, like. It felt like he had kind of shackled himself, and it felt like Napier shackled him too. You know what I mean? Because they similar to us. They couldn't survive without AR. Same way we couldn't survive without JT.
Right.
So, in my opinion, I think they kind of. Both he called scared games and they played scared.
Yeah.
Well, now I think they're like, man, it's the end of the season. I think AR going to the pros, and I think Bowen was like, you know what? All right, let's just go. See what happens. We lose, we lose. We win, oh well.
Right. I think that with the luck that we're having, he'll probably miss that game. We're probably winning going away. Right, that's the type of luck we have.
He'll get hurt, gets bandy.
Yeah, get some type of sprain.
He'll sprain his ankle against bandy.
Something. All right, so
I'm with it.
And guess what? I take that too.
Brother, but, I hope you're all right. Go get your money in the pros. But if you twist an ankle and can't play against Florida State, I promise you, I ain't gonna
But I do think he's playing better, man. And when he's playing better, that team is a different. They're a different offense because Trevor Etienne and them running backs are really good. That offensive line is really good. That'd be what the best offensive line you have played all season, I think. Maybe Clemson was Clemson. Better. I don't know, but that's pretty close. I would take Florida offensive line over Clemson, to be honest with you. But I mean, I wouldn't complain.
The problem is they also play defense and they don't play any of that.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. So I can look at that whole situation and say, well, you know,
they won't get the 30.
That'd be one of the best offensive lines we played. But at the same time, we should be able to score points on that defense. We should be able to run the ball against that defense. We should be able to throw the football against that defense. I think the biggest jump that his team has made has been at the wide receiver position the last couple of games. I really think that I don't think that's playing down the competition. I don't think that's a competition thing. I think the wide receivers are legitimately playing well above what I expected them to play at. I think
they
the
wide receivers open.
Well, they're getting open. If you watch them block down the field, they're creating big runs because they're blocking so hard down the field.
I was gonna say there was a video of Pittman pushing, having the dude all out of bounds. You know what I mean? Like, and we kept saying, when will we find a blocking team, right? Yeah. A wide receiver core who cared just as much about blocking as they did about catching the passes. Mm-hmm. And I think we had the wrong type of receiver in here. Well, Mike, give Mike credit. He transitioned that room into a room that he liked.
Right.
McClain is a hell of a blocker. Pittman is a hell of a blocker. I don't forgot big boy name. Hell of a blocker.
Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson. Right. Johnny Wilson's a hell of a blocker, but he came in, you know what I mean? Like, he entered Florida State as, like, what, number one blocking wide receiver or whatever it is. And we were like, well, we need him to catch passes.
Yeah.
He brought his hands with him. You know what I mean? Like, that throw, that catch by Portier on the sideline or whatever it is, like, the Tate Rodemaker through while scrambling, FSU receivers don't make that catch. I don't know. First of all, that throw was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that catch of Portier, that it was clearly, I was like, that's out of bounds. There's no way the word that's out of, you know what I mean? There's no way he caught that. For them to weigh their hands, I was like, well, that'll get overturned on replay. Then you see it and you like, no.
Right.
Those guys have improved, you know what I mean? As a unit, they've improved. Right. They block, but they catch well. They've gotten better as the competition has gotten worse. They have gotten better. And I think that's just another testament to the fact that these guys really, really have bought into to Mike. They bought into the system. They've bought into to FSU. Right. And you're seeing it now. You know what I mean? You're seeing what happens when all that comes together. Speaking of, I guess you've always had an opinion on Mike. You know what I mean? Seeing what you've seen this season, him looking like I say, they're headed to getting, you know, 10 wins. Has your opinion changed on Mike?
No. Because I think that I had it haven't. Okay, so I think this is the whole problem with this, right? When we first hired Mike Norvell, I said I thought he would be better than what he was the first 2 years. Remember I said that? I was like, I think he'll have a high floor. Mm-hmm. I thought the first year we was going to win 7, right? And then we won 3. Then we came back to the second year. I said, well, I think we can win 6. And we won 5, right? So he was below my expectations of what he was going to do when he first got here, right?
Right.
So we turned back around. And as the season is going to progress, I have what? We got 3 years of his work, his body of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't – the biggest thing is going to be with Mike, for me. How is he going to recruit, right? Can you start in the ACC? You can bring a top 20 recruiting class in the ACC, hit on a couple transfers. You have a chance to win the ACC every year. Point blank, period, right? You could a top 20 class in the ACC will pretty much out recruit everybody but Clemson, maybe Miami. Clemson, Miami, probably it, right? Like,
right.
Technically, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you would pretty much have better rosters near about in this conference other than two teams if you keep recruiting at the top 18, 19, 20 level, right? Which is what he's currently doing, right? okay, is winning this shit at conference what we aspire to do, or that just something we do on the way to doing the bigger thing that we want to do, right? I think I always felt like they was going to give him maximum amount of support and that he would win more and that he would do more than the last coach. I always thought that. I never backed away from that, right? I think the problem is people associate me with the fire by Norvell spaces, which I get it, but that was to be funny. People still don't get that, but I think that's a lot of what this is. I think Mike Norvell has been a good coach, but I mean, I don't know. Like what I thought of him has never really changed. Cause like he was hitting so far below what I initially thought he would be that I was just like, well, this is an unmitigated disaster. I didn't think it was ever going to be an unmitigated disaster. You know what I'm saying?
So he definitely came in below expectation. We can't even argue it. You know what I mean? Like there's no way to argue the other side of it. You can't argue the other side. Like I know a lot of people were talking about, you know,
the hidden numbers. Yeah. Can I say this right here? I honestly believe this, and I'm not even saying this to be funny. I honestly believe this. If people didn't take sides in this whole Willie Mike conversation or Jimbo Mike conversation or whatever coach conversation and just flatly looked at it and we like as a real FSU fan and what you know FSU to be and you said, hey, you hired a coach, you won 3 games first year, 5 games the second year, we wouldn't be happy with that. Just point blank period, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be happy with that period because you would say, well, this is the state of Florida. You should be able to flip a recruiting. You should be able to flip and recruit. And you had a whole year to get rid of as many players as you wanted because the NCAA allowed for it, right? They allowed for you to get rid of as many players you want and bring as many players you wanted in. Mike has brought in almost 90-plus players into this program. So this is his roster, right? This is his roster, right? So, But as far as that go, you hired a young coach, okay? You hired a guy that was in his 30s, I think, at the time you hired. I think he was like 38, 39 when you hired him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy that he's been poor situationally in football games. It's not even crazy that off the field, you know, no matter what the media says, has not been very good as far as recruiting, hiring, getting certain recruiters, keeping certain guys. Like, he probably should have kept Telly Lockett on the staff, right? That would have helped in recruiting, right? It's okay. Things happen. You know what I'm saying? So you got to pivot from that stuff and decide what he is as a coach. You know, as he sit here today, do I ever think he'll win a national championship? Me and you talked about this. I think it's hard to win national championships. I think people take that for granted how hard that is. That's right. Tough to do. You know what I'm saying? Like Saban and Bill Belichick has made people think winning championships is some easy foregone conclusion. That shit is not easy.
No, not at all.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, you know, winning 2 national championships in a coaching career is a great thing. Winning one national championship is a great thing. Like, we can take as many shits on Jimbo as we want. The man won a national championship. That's impressive. That's hard to do.
So definitely.
Do I ever think he ever win a national championship? I kind of don't believe that. You know what I'm saying?
So here's where I'm gonna play the devil's advocate in this one, right? When we say he can't win the championship, I look at it and I think, a lot of what comes with the national championship is luck. And the reason why I say that is you say he can recruit to a level of top 20, which can beat anybody in the ACC.
Right.
Well, if you win the ACC in most years and you've beaten everybody in the ACC, that's going to get you in the playoffs. The playoffs is expanding to 8.
Well, it's gonna
get what I'm saying?
Well, okay.
So
I'm going to bring that point up too.
If you can get to 8.
Go ahead.
If you can get to 8,
mm-hmm.
then you're in the playoff.
Right.
And at that point, I mean, depending on where you are, you may end up in a favorable matchup and it can be in a championship. Mm-hmm. And I think we would love to win the championship, but I think if you tell Florida State fans that we went from where we were at the bottom basement to now being, all right, we went win the ACC, we won the ACC with the recruiting that we've gotten, we're now in the playoffs, you might be able to get lucky and win one.
Right.
If you've put yourself in that position. And I think where Mike is headed, Mike actually is putting himself in the position to maybe be in the conversation. I would think next year, if the right things happen in recruiting, we'll see what happens, and off the field and transfer portal, etc. I think if the right things happen, it's not out of the realm of possibility to say that Florida State should be in the conversation next year. And right. At that point, if we're in the conversation, it's not what we want, but we have to do. Well, we all had to readjust our expectations.
Right.
So, in my opinion, I do think, all right, we went from being completely out of it mm-hmm. to last year being ranked to next year being in the conversation.
Yeah.
I'll look past, all right, you started five with 3 wins and 5 wins. Right. I'll look past it because you're now in the championship conversation. I'll say he learned on the job. He took the longest route possible.
Right.
It wasn't a quick climb. It wasn't like, you know what I mean, like at the La Rock climbing place. Right. It was a slow one. It was Everest. You know right. what I mean? Like we took our time climbing. But at the end of the day, I say, all right, the climb worked. It wasn't the path I would have took.
Right.
Probably wasn't the path that any of the Florida State fans would have took. But I'm gonna take it because right. we went from being irrelevant to now being a part of the conversation.
And I think that when you talk about the expansion of the playoffs, right? So now you get into a conversation where if you're at Florida State and you got an 18 playoff, a 12 yeah. team playoff,
mm-hmm.
and you're in this conference, you should never miss the playoffs. You should be in the playoffs every year.
That is 1,000% facts.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm one of the people that I think the ACC is a little bit better than what people give it credit for, but
it's still bad.
But it's still bad. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's done a good job this year. I think he's done a good job learning on a job. I think he's done a good job adjusting and selling a vision to the fan base and to the players and to the coaches. I think he's done a good job with that stuff, right? I think past coaches did a terrible job at that stuff, right?
Look at, and I don't know if I can give him credit for it, but look at what he's even done with the video team. You know what I mean? Like those videos after the wins, man, are
all
movie trailers.
All inspiring.
You know what I mean? They movie trailers, but we haven't had that in the past. You know what I mean? Just yeah. those little things. I remember I used to like, man, what is LSU doing? Who's doing these videos over at LSU? Why they look so, you know what I mean, inspiring? Like I want to go play for LSU. And now in another season, it's improved. I don't know who's in charge of that, but somebody looked around and said, why are we not being excellent in this? And those things do affect recruiting, and they do affect your football team.
Right.
So, I think it's difficult to look at anything that Mike has done this year and say, man, like I'm gonna give it a solid B plus. You know what I mean? I think without that 3-game, if they'd won one of those three, I could probably gave it an A. But I think a solid B plus, man, and that's coming from 2 F-minuses. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you know that's a huge jump.
I think he's done a good job. I think this year he's done a good job. I do still worry about the Florida's program, and we could talk about this part, but this portal versus recruits conversation that we can start having now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people keep pointing out these coaches that surpass Mike quicker. Keep saying, "What are they still good now?" Right? They keep saying, like they keep bringing up Mel Tucker. They keep bringing up who else was another guy they brought up? Well, the only one I can think of right now is Mel Tucker. But they brought up Mel Tucker saying, oh, well, look at him now. He's fell back, right? And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I think that's the risk of taking 18 Porter guys and 20 Porter guys in a recruiting class, right? It stalls development a little bit, right? And what happens is that next year when those Porter guys leave, or better yet, when 3 or 4 of those Porter guys leave and you bring those other guys back, and then some of those freshmen are now trying to ascend,
mm-hmm.
Now you got messed up chemistry in your team a little bit, right? So now you got to work through some chemistry issues, and that's why you see these fallbacks at Baylor, little fallback at Michigan State, which I still think Michigan State is on pace to do what Michigan State's supposed to do. in that conference, right? I think if you're Michigan State
overachieved last year. They actually are where they should be at regularly.
Like to me, if you Michigan State get me in a bowl every year and every 3 years
and compete with Michigan.
Can you beat Michigan and beat Ohio State every 2 to 3 years? You know, that's about where they're supposed to be.
He's regressed back to the mean where he should be at.
Right. So if you telling me my floor with Mel Tucker is gonna be 7 wins and then after that I'm gonna see another 10-11 win season. Mel Tucker's doing his damn job, right? He's worth $10 million to them. That's 100%.
That's exactly what they want.
Right.
Yep.
They're fine.
He is doing exactly what he was hired to do.
Same thing with Baylor, the coach at Baylor. Okay, they're a little bad this year, but guess what? He did what he had to do last year, got him where he wanted to get, where they want to get at. For Baylor, every 2 to 3 years, they can do that every 2 to 3 years. Be better than Texas, be better than Oklahoma. Every three to four years, they're good with that. Right?
Okay.
I think the difference is with Florida State fans and what we have to realize, this program is a program that can compete and win national championships. That's a big difference. It's the reason why people criticize Mark Richt at Georgia. Mark Richt was not a bad coach at Georgia. He was a good coach at Georgia.
Yep.
But they kept saying, shouldn't this program compete for national championships though?
They were always a game away.
Yeah, always a game or two away, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people always be like, well, that's why it was so big when they got Kirby, because they were saying, we believe we should be able to compete for national championships at Georgia. We should not ever have a season where we win 7 games or have
and
a season.
They were 100% correct.
Right. They believe they were supposed to compete for national championships. So you have to – What is the expectations for your program? And that's a big thing. Now, if you believe Mike's a great coach, right, and he come in here and you say, well, he won 8 games this year. Hey, he won 7 games. Yep. Look how the guys fight. If that is the mentality that the fan base has, I'm fine with that, right? Like, okay, I know better than that. I think this program can win that championship. But I also know to win that championships, you do have to recruit differently. You do have to raise your floor to a level that you can beat the Georgias, the Bamas, the LSUs, that you can beat those teams, right? So I think you have to wonder what type of program are you and what do you aspire to, right? We should never aspire to what South Carolina is going to aspire to. South Carolina want to win. They want to be the third best team in the East. That's who they are. That's who they want to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They want to beat Kentucky every other year, beat Tennessee and Florida, play tough games with Georgia, be the third best team. So should you compare yourself to what South Carolina's doing? Probably not, because you should be better than South Carolina. And you shouldn't be recruiting with them, right? You shouldn't be at 19. They shouldn't be at 17. So, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right.
So I think this is all based on perception. What is the perception of your program and what do you aspire to be at your program? And when we talk about Mike taking Porter kids, recruiting and Portering, people keep saying, well, it's okay because you're getting more proven. And I was one of those people last year after he failed the recruiting class when he lost Travis Hunter and a lot of those guys at the end. I said, I told you and I told Wig and Wig disagreed with me. I said, man, go get Porter kids, man. You don't have time to go get 6 more high school kids on this roster that's not going to be good enough to help you in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. You need to get people that can contribute right now. Fine. You went and got that. Now you got what? You're basically on track to have a 9-win, 10-win team, right?
Mm-hmm.
This recruiting class, this one and the next one, you need to be getting difference makers in key positions that can propel, because the thing about bringing in a recruiting class, those guys are going to stick together. Those guys are going to fight a little harder for one another, right? They're not individualized, right? They're going to do the extra stuff because they came in together, right? They're not going to be so quick to want to just run off the team, in my opinion. So I do think he needs to recruit better at the high school ranks. You need to be able to bring in a class of 20 really good recruits. If you want to go porting 5 kids here, 5 kids there, I'm fine with that. But 20 of those recruits need to be high school, and they need to be legit guys that can help you in 2 years, my opinion.
So I think there's a way you can do both. I think Mike is smart enough at understanding.
I gave you the path to do both.
Huh?
I gave you the path to do both. You need to do 80% high school, and you need to do.
Okay. That's what you said. Okay.
20%.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I think you got to absolutely recruit your high school. You got to recruit high school kids. And I'm talking difference maker high school kids who are around the program. But I do think, but I don't want Mike to abandon what he's done in the portal, right? Because other than, actually, I can't even figure out. Like, that, basically, look at our players.
Right.
All the key players are from the portal. Now you add in Peyton and you say, okay, well, Peyton's starting to emerge. And that's right. What should happen.
Right.
You should be able to plug in this defensive end until one of your young guys emerges right. And take over. So now next year, realistically, you should need another you'll need two DNs. You might need one. You know what I mean? And he should be a backup. And same thing for linebacker group, et cetera. Right. So mm-hmm. I agree with you. You got to do it 80-20. You have to be able to get, but you have to, the problem is, I don't know if Mike is going to be able to meet the 80-20 threshold. And the reason why I say that is, if you are recruiting at the 18 to 20 range, which is, you know, where he's been at, then you can't plug and play. You're going right. to have to build in a whole lot more guys who right. you're paying for starters. You know what I mean? Right. And so what I, as opposed to me looking and saying that's not a problem, I mean, that's a problem, I think Mike has a very high hit rate in the portal that mm-hmm. I don't know any other coaches that have. No coaches have come back with Jermaine Johnson followed by Jared Verse.
Right.
That's a stat. You know what I mean? And so if I'm a DN and I play at South Carolina or at Liberty or wherever it is, you know what I mean, Michigan, mm-hmm. and I'm not getting the clout that I think I might need, or I feel like I should be playing at a higher level. I've developed now, I've hit a growth spurt, whatever it is. I believe Mike can go out and find the next DN that can come out here and be an NFL player. I've yeah. seen him do it twice. Wide receivers, same thing.
Right.
He's been you add Winston Wright to this group next year, who's already, you know, said he's coming back. Well, now you're saying, well, that's adding to an already deep group.
Right.
I just think Mike has shown the ability to find those key areas he's hitting at, and he's hitting at a very high rate. So even if he is only getting 60%. He has shown the ability to cover up that other 40% that he may lack in recruiting with recruiting the portal. I don't know if it leans more to his skill set or his personality type, why he can do it that way,
right?
As opposed to recruiting it. And honestly, it won't matter, because if he can continue to hit at that rate, does it really matter? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In other words, if you create a system,
mm-hmm.
hey, we know we got 60% of these kids coming from the portal. 40% coming from the portal, 60% coming from recruiting.
Right.
Then I think you know coming in, hey, every season you're going to have to blend. You know, these are the challenges that's going to be faced. These are some of the hurdles. We've built our program to handle this way.
Right.
I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility that Mike has figured it out. Hey, I know buy-in is normally difficult with these portal guys, but I know what the portal guys want, so I'm going to lean into that a little bit. I know right. these young guys going to have to develop, so I'm going to push more towards that, and this is how I do my recruiting. So the kids who come here are coming to develop, unless we somehow look up and get a blue chip, and the ones who not, y'all coming in to be developing. I know our transfer portal guys are coming in to start.
Right.
It's possible Mike has, you know, figured out a different way of doing
but,
it.
But we're talking about, I'm not talking about him winning the ACC. I think he can.
But I think he can win a championship doing it that way.
I think he can win the ACC doing it this way. I really do yeah. believe that, right? But I think when you start talking about, can we win national championships? Can we legitimately compete, right? The best Porter guys, are for the most part, are going to go to the Bamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States when they want them, right? The USC's when they want them. The Oklahoma's when they want them, right? Like, you're doing a good job, and I'm not knocking what he's doing, because I said after that failed recruiting class, I was like, hey, he got to go dumpster diving. All right, we got to go dumpster diving. We got to get some Porter guys in here, because he hasn't recruited good enough to just say, right. let me roll the guy that I recruited. He haven't done that. So what we get is this conversation of, what makes a coach a national championship coach? What makes a coach a great coach? Da, 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 all this other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the most part, we do got to change the way we look at college football, because it is becoming free agency. And that does mean you're going to have high roster turnover every year, right? You're going to have guys going to the pros and guys transferring.
So navigate that. Yeah. So and I think he's figured out a way to navigate it.
Okay. But we got to see that get navigated into Final Four appearances. We got to see that get navigated into winning the ACC championships, right?
1,000%.
We got to see that. So, you know, I don't think it's crazy that you recruit AZ Thomas, Sam McCall, and tell them, I got plenty of playing time for DBs. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through the season, you're hearing about guys wanting to transfer out from the defensive back room because you're playing a Porter guy here.
Oh,
a Porter guy.
I can answer that. If we want to have that conversation,
my point is, I don't think it's a coincidence with that, right? So I'm okay with you playing the best player. I'm fine with that.
Play better.
How you sell things, how you package things matter. That matters.
Yeah, Sam, I'm playing the best player who comes in here. If you're the best player, I promise to goodness, I don't care whether he came from the portal, from under the earth, from China. I don't care where he came from. The best football players will play on this team because we want to win football games.
Right.
So in my opinion, if I'm Sam McCall, I want to play, I'm going to play better. I don't think the DB coach, Adam Fuller, anybody is looking at Sam McCall and saying, Sam, I know you're the best player out here, but these Porter guys, we promise, would play right away. So you're going to have to just take this L.
It's the same. Hey, Brandon, it's the same staff that rolled out DJ Lund over Deloach the first year they got here. They rolled out Tate Rodemaker before they rolled out Jordan Travis. They also rolled out a one-legged quarterback before they rolled out Jordan Travis also, bro. Like, I mean, this idea that coaches play the best players just isn't true, bro. They have agendas, all right? It's just like any job. People have agendas.
Sometimes. Yeah, no, no. Yeah. You play who you like. Okay. I like this dude,
okay. All right. Okay. No. We live in the real world, okay? This ain't the Titans. We live in the real world, okay? Best person always play. It's agendas. Yeah,
nobody's running the quarterback bootleg for a championship.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, I think – but he do need to do better at recruiting. We got to do better at recruiting. Got to do better at recruiting. I see somebody.
Yeah, and I think he might be able to manage doing both.
Yeah, we got to do better. We forgetting about NIL more. So we got to decide which one it is, right? Is NIL the reason why we're not recruiting well? Is it the wins and losses the reason why we're not recruiting well? Is it the coaches that the reason that we're not recruiting well? I don't care which one it is. I don't care which one it is, but I want us to pick one. I want us to stick to that narrative.
I know that's where you was going with that.
Because every time you bring up one, they bring up this other thing. And I'm like, which one is it? Is it the coaches? Is it the wins and losses? Is it NIL?
Yep. So I wanted to say no one gave a chance to either Johnny Wilson or Benson. Mike was the one that took a chance on them, and they developed. He knows how to find a diamond in the rough. I do think there's a skill in that. You know what I mean? Like, I do. I don't know. Again, I think it's risky business. I think it's difficult when you get into that.
But the thing about it is you lower your floor by taking guys in the portal.
Not if you develop the other guys at the proper rate. That's what I'm saying. If you can take these lovable three stars, these hungry, fight hard three stars, right? Mm-hmm. And they're able to make those guys into top players over a 2-year time frame, then you're doing essentially what Wake Forest does once every, and I hate to compare ourselves to Wake Forest. Sure. You're doing what Wake Forest is doing every 5 years, though. but Wake don't have the ability to also get the portal kids that we have. But you're essentially what you're developing is, you're developing it almost at the Wake Forest or some of the bottom tier ACC program speed with just a little bit better talent. So now every 3-4 years, you'll end up with a simulating team of a lot of whatever it is of guys who you may not have to go to the portal that many times because they've developed over the last 2 to 3 years. Meanwhile, in between that time, you've been adding portal players. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it by any stretch. Mm-hmm. I think it is possible that you can win some games doing it that way.
Right.
And a championship may be one of them. Not the definitely ideal way we do it. I would like a coach would be able to recruit. Let me be very
clear. But, you know, I felt this season was really important because FSU needed to stabilize itself and not fall off the map, right? I didn't care. I'm not too much concerned about the coaching staff, the head coach, or is Mike the guy that's worship at Mike's altar. I don't too much care about that stuff. I care more about can FSU be stabilized where this job is still considered a top 10 job, right? And I think with what's going on with the season that FSU's having, I think it has stabilized itself where it's still considered a top 10 job. And that's the most important thing because because if you have three failed head coaches in a span of whatever small window that is, that gets scary, right? It gets pretty scary pretty fast. So I'm glad he's able to have the season that he's having. And I think it's okay to acknowledge the good things that Mike's done. I think he's done a lot of good things, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think he can will be able to attract better assistants. But, you know, like I've talked to somebody about this, they don't personally think these assistants are going anywhere. So
I think it's going to be very difficult to tell any assistant coach he got to go.
Right. So, you know.
You know what I mean? I just as much as I agree they need that, I think as opposed to telling somebody they got to go, I think they need to pony up and bring in more guys.
Yeah.
Add more analysts. Add more, you know what I mean, whatever you got to call them positions. Mm-hmm. But add those guys because, in my opinion, you can't look at any unit and say they got to go.
Right.
Unless Adam Fuller and the DBs just have a horrible game against Florida, you know what I mean? They go out there and get railroaded or something like that. Then maybe you could look and the last taste in your mouth was Adam Fuller having a real bad game. And you might be able to look at it. But in my opinion, what unit has can you look at legit and say, all right, coach, I know you've done well, but you got to go.
Personally, I would have more faith in Mike if after the season he did get rid of two coaches and add two better.
I would agree personally, with that. Personally, I'd have more respect for him as well.
I would feel better. But
do you believe Mike doing it? After the last two seasons, they ain't getting rid of nobody. You think they getting rid of somebody after this season?
Yeah, I'm saying. I don't.
Mike gonna put his nuts on the table. Mike ain't gonna let.
Yeah,
Mike gonna be like fire somebody.
And I do hear
how many 10-win seasons y'all got rolling up around here.
And I do hear there's some internal. I do hear there's some internal strife about that conversation in general. So we're gonna see how that play out. I'm not going to get into that because like I always try to tell people, I'm not an insider. And even if I do know something that's inside, I don't like putting that shit out because personally, I don't give a
become your fault.
Yeah,
they definitely going to kill the messenger.
I'm the guy hating. But
you don't want to say that Mike Norvell and Odell Higgins got into a fight after the Florida game.
I never said that. He's joking, people. That's
a joke. Please don't chop the ear. We're going to chop the clip up and they'll be like, man, what? Listen to the podcast said that Mike Norvell and Odell Higgins got into that. No, nobody said that.
Charlotte just hired a coach, so you don't have to worry about that.
He wasn't never going nowhere. He wasn't going nowhere. Okay. I think Atkins is smart enough to realize that he hotter than fish grease. He could do way better than Charlotte.
So let me go here. We got this question. Let's be real. FSU, high school recruiting these days, a little already asked Texas A&M, Miami. I don't think it's true because I think the problem with the whole problem with Texas A&M, people
is Jimbo. The answer is Jimbo, though. It's been Jimbo.
Can I say this? People hate Jimbo. They can't wait to pounce. Like, this man brought in a top one class ever. True freshmen are not normally great in their first year. It takes them 6-7 games. So they got hit by a shitload of injuries.
They did.
They got hit by a shitload of injuries. They're playing a bunch of young guys, and they're playing in the toughest conference in college football. You really thought they were going?
And that Jimbo system is antiquated.
Okay, I'm fine with having that conversation. Yeah, that's cool. Jimbo system is antiquated. But the fact that people are trying to say, if Mike Norvell had 12 injuries or 14 injuries, you know how many excuses y'all come up with when we get two injuries on one segment of a football team? Imagine 12 or 14 of them. I mean, he's on his third string quarterback. I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying people couldn't wait to pounce on Jimbo Fisher. Like, and I get it. He's an unlikable guy. You know what I'm saying?
Sam is a Jimbo sexual, y'all. No, I want y'all to understand.
No, I'm not.
I really do. And no, I respect the fact that he's giving us a championship.
No, my thing be, I hate narratives. That's my whole thing. You know that about me. I'm fine with people criticizing people, but I'd be like,
Why it got to be all this?
I'd be like, well, where is this coming from? Like, y'all know the man got 25 injuries over there. He on the third string quarterback. Like, what is he supposed to, so he supposed to go beat Bama with them?
Yes. Line that shit up.
So, and then you got Miami. And believe me, that offense is a fucking train wreck over there. It is a train wreck.
But it didn't matter who was playing quarterback.
Right. But guess what? They got a shitload of injuries over there too. So it looks it's if you get concentrated injuries in your segment groups and you're already a young football team, you're gonna be bad.
State. I mean, this has been us the last year.
We've done it. We've done it.
We've had key injuries at the worst possible time with the worst. I mean, you know, yeah, it happens. Listen, there's a lot of I don't know why the group chat is arguing. Why the chat is arguing? Tate Rodemaker or Duffy. Let me tell you something. If either one of them got to play next year, hey boy, y'all better be arguing portal.
Yeah.
You don't want neither one of them to start next year. My hope is Jordan Travis looks around and says I can win championship next year and comes back. And that's what we all better be praying for on Christmas on that Santa list. That's what we all need to root for.
I do agree.
Duffy or Tate Rodemaker, you are not winning 10 games next year with Tate Rodemaker. Like, Tate Rodemaker showing you who he is.
Yeah. I mean,
he ain't getting that much better in this offseason.
I do get people don't like Jimbo. I get that. Like, I'm not saying he's doing a great job at Texas A&M. I'm not saying that. You're right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I understand why they're losing. Like, I understand it. Like, I'm –
He has a legit excuse as to why we're losing.
That's right. I know why he's losing. Now, should you care? That's a whole other conversation.
As a Florida State fan? Hell no.
Well, yeah, as a Florida State fan or as somebody that's paying him $12 million a fucking year, should you care? Maybe not. You're taking the money to win games. Win games. So I always come back with this opinion. However you feel about it, if your program is built to win that championship, and you're building a program to win that championships, you shouldn't be missing bowl games. All right, missing bowl games is bad for business. It's why
that's what I'm saying. He got enough recruits out there, level high enough to where he shouldn't be losing.
Right,
bowl
it's why I couldn't really defend the firing of Willie when they fired him because I'm like, well, you did miss a bowl game at Florida State, even though you had concentrated injuries at offensive line and concentrated injuries at linebacker and defensive back, and you already wasn't deep at those positions, but it is Florida State. You should have found a way to win 6 games in the ACC and make a bowl game. I understood it, right? It's why I was so critical of Mike Norvell after last year. Hey, man, you've been here 2 years. There's no fucking reason why you shouldn't make a bowl game. Beat Jackson State. Nobody's asking you to do a whole lot. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? I do think Jimbo Fisher is underachieving. I do think he deserves a shitload of criticism. But I also understand why they're losing. I think all that shit is true to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he is underachieving. So it's just, but I think for FSU fans, it's funny down in his grave. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I agree to say. I'm going to take these few little chuckles and I'm going to get them off. You know, at the fact that we're looking good after my man
Sam,
told us
our difference makers is from the transfer portal. Yeah. And I agree with that. They are, but I think that's part of the problem. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't keep bringing in 10 transfers and they become the staple of your football team. You have to develop your guys that you got in high school ranks. That's a part of it. You have to do that. You know what I'm saying?
What was the question? How do we contain them? Right?
I think that was about.
Oh, you're talking about from AR. Oh.
You got to keep him in the pocket.
I was just going to say.
You cannot let him escape the pocket. If you keep him in the pocket.
Jared Verse is going to have to play a non-stat game. You're not going to get a lot of stats. You know what I mean? You're not going to get a lot of sacks. Play that QB contain, keep those rushing lanes, and then, you know, be smart about how you rush.
Yeah.
If they win, they win.
Yeah, if they went out, including the bowl game, grab a top 15 spot, and you have to say he's our guy, the evaluation development is there. If they win 9-10 games, then next year should easily be a top 10 class.
You're saying a lot of shoulds. Yeah, these all shoulds, right? The problem is right now we got, you know what I mean? We're looking like we're going to win 10 and we're not going to grab a top 15 spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's where we look and say he is underachieving for how well Florida State is playing.
Right.
The fact that Miami keeps getting guys, Florida keeps getting guys while not looking nearly as good as Florida State, not ranked as high as Florida State, not get at positions that weak that Mike Norvell coaches well. If I'm a running back, there's no reason in the world that a five-star running back shouldn't be looking at Florida State and easily commit to us.
Right.
When you look at Mike Norvell and what he's done with the three running backs this year, with what he has already put in the NFL at Memphis, right, when you look at how he schemes for these running backs, I'm saying, and you got a good O-line with Alex Atkins, I'm saying, dog, I'm a running back. There's no reason why Mike shouldn't have three of them already in the stable coming in for next year. You know what I mean? So that when Benson is done, I'm able to drop in 3 5-stars.
Yeah.
Well, now I don't need another Porter running back because I got 3 blue chip guys who are ready, who are fresh, who's able to jump right in and take over. That's where when you look and you say, all right, great, I'm glad he's doing good in the portal. But what is happening in the recruiting where you are right now got, Benson finna go over 1,000 yards. Benson was not our starting running back
right
to start the season. You know what I mean? Like Benson ran for 163.
Dude, he's you know really what I mean? Good.
Like I'm saying, but those things should lead to better recruiting, especially at certain positions. I would think you should have a 5-star running back who's ready to jump in here, and multiple of them who's ready to jump in here based on the things and what you've shown on the field.
Cam Davis is a 5-star. If he can get him out of Georgia and close him down,
that's what I mean. Close the deal. And that's all I'm saying. You should close the deal on these guys, wide receivers again. Look at the development of the wide receiver group. DBs, look at the development. I'm saying around the board, you have improved. You have shown the proof of concept that we were told the recruits needed to see.
Right.
We had not shown proof of concept, so therefore the recruits were not able to look at Mike Norvell with the true buy-in. Understood? Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, now we've gotten multiple proof of concepts. You went out there and beat LSU on national television, huge game. You looked impressive doing it.
Right.
You went out there, you rolled out 5 straight, you just beat a rival. Why you beat Miami and the dude flips to Florida as opposed to flipping to Florida State? You know what I mean? Why is Florida State not in the conversation with right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot of questions that when you look at the recruiting side of things, I'm saying, I don't know if this is sustainable for Mike. Can he? It might be. He might hit at that high of a rate in the portal to where none of this ever makes a difference whatsoever. But I also know that may not be the best long-term plan.
Right, yeah. That's more dumpster diving with the guy from Penn State. You know, have y'all seen them backs at Penn State? Penn State got like 3 5-star backs that they run often. I mean, that kid wasn't going to play at Penn State. I'm just not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying, like, you know. Singleton, I think, is a nice running back. I do think Singleton's nice. But they got I think a lot of these answers to these questions are going to get answered in the offseason. I don't think they're going to get answered as we sit here today. And I think that I want to see them recruit better in high school ranks. And I would like to see some changes on defense. I mean, on the staff. I don't think they're going to happen. What I believe.
Again, I'm saying if he wasn't willing to change after 5-3-win season, then I don't think there's going to be any reason.
I do think he's done a good job, though. I do think he's done a good job. I think this year he's done a good job coaching this football team. This football team, he's done a good job with. I really do believe that. So, you know, I just can't argue. Where is everybody's expectations at? Where do they sit at? You know, people got to decide it for themselves, you know. You know, people screaming. Hey, people in my DMs telling me Mike's greatest thing since sliced bread after a 3-win season. And he's the greatest thing since sliced bread since after a 5-win season, you know? So people are entrenched in whatever camp they entrenched in.
I was going to say, he's just saying after the LSU game, we didn't learn Hakeem. Right. And I'm saying that should happen at a higher rate. That's all I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it hasn't been done. I'm saying that should happen at a much higher rate.
I'm just
at Florida State, correct?
At Florida State, you should recruit within the top 10.
Easily.
This is not arguable. It's inarguable. Yeah. You should recruit in the top 10. This ain't It's not crazy. That's not asking a lot. It's asking, like, if we say, hey, he need to have a top five recruiting class, I think that's asking a lot, right? I can't ask you in a given year to out-recruit Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, USC, Texas, Texas A&M currently. Florida, you know what I'm saying? I can't, in good conscience, say, bring a top five recruiting class in here every year.
Right.
That's probably not going to happen. Within the top 10, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's crazy at Florida State to recruit in the top 10, personally. Now, right. Some of y'all might feel different.
No, he just said it as well. He said right now they should have a top 15 class. And agreed. Based on just the record that they have right now, they should have a top 15 class.
Right. But, dang, dude, we finna really hit 100 viewers on the show today. That's what's up.
Make sure y'all hit the subscribe and the like button, man. If y'all have not, man. If you haven't subscribed yet, man, hit the subscribe button.
It would be nice to have a Harold Perkins. That would be nice.
Rip.
That dude's an animal.
Again, them freaks, man. Those are freaks, man. Those come around once every now and then, man.
Every now and then. That dude is different, man. Oh, man, make sure y'all hit the like button. I know we got 99 in here. We should have 99 likes on the screen, man. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Please.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very interested in seeing how this class classes out, man. How this class closes out, man. Like, if we're able to close this class out with, I think I said 10 to 12, which is why I anticipated if we got a 10-win season. I think if we can close out 10 to 12, I'll take it.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. And I think overall, you know, 12, top 12 class, top 15. I think I always said they were going to finish somewhere around 15. I think I said 15 to 19, I think I said this year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see them getting over that 15 to 19, over 15. I did not see that happening. And that's about where they're going to finish at, you know. So
I hope not. I hope they find some. I'm just saying, like, I really hope that they were able to find some. They able to find some recruits. They able to flip some guys. Mike got a plan when it comes to recruiting. Because again, I think another 15 and 19 class means that you then have to hit again in the transfer portal at a high clip. And I don't know how many times you can ask them to go to that well and pull back diamonds. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we asking a lot. I mean, he's done it. He's done it these past couple of years. But
all right, it gets difficult, man. But with that being said, it's time for me to get off of this podcast.
For real, I'm finna go cook something.
But man, thank y'all, man, for coming through. Y'all are always here. Y'all are always here waiting on the pod. And I actually really do appreciate you guys. You know, reminding me that it's time to drop an episode.
Strongfully reminded.
Strongly, we got to drop an episode. So I appreciate that, man. It's crazy. I've been wanting to do more episodes, man, but life been life in this year. So the last 2 years, actually.
It really has. Yeah, it's been, again, for a two-man pod, I think between me and you both, we don't have some moments, man, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Again, it's just us.
I need to find a network where I can just record and just drop it.
Right, right. Yeah. We
need to add to the show.
We open. We just record this
podcast.
We just record and hit, and when it's over with, that's it. Don't take too long next time.
See what I'm talking about?
Man, you know, say what? His grandfather at hospice and all sorts of stuff. Don't take too long next time. You're like, all right. We just been to the island, boy. Man, we just messing with you. But yeah, man, y'all don't care. Y'all ain't care. Y'all was just like, hey, man. I forgot who sent us that one message. They were like, yo, so y'all ain't going to say nothing? I was like, God, no. I mean, nah. But we appreciate y'all.
I mean, it's like 25 other FSU podcasts.
I was going to say, and all of them, I guarantee you, are not talking about how this recruit is a problem. Like, so I haven't heard any of them, but I can guarantee you it's not that I don't like them, though, because, you know, we started out a little contentious, but now, you know, a lot of the podcasts are showing a lot of support and love to us, man. So, you know, we rock with y'all, but, you know, they ain't going to talk about the recruiting, I guarantee you. Well, maybe one or two.
I don't know
who this Drew Novak is, but y'all keep hollering about him.
I am going to check better him out.
Yeah, I was going to say, we definitely got to check him out because y'all, you know, yeah, we're going to see. Sam definitely been laid up drinking pumpkin spice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Sam's MO. Listen, I'm gonna share my stuff real quick before we get out of here. Y'all don't understand. Sam will press a button on the tweet and then will just mute it, right? And go about his day. And y'all will just be arguing amongst yourselves, and Sam won't feel it. Like he won't care at all. Sam yesterday was like, "Hey, should I send this tweet out?" And we was like, "Yep, you should definitely send it out. Just something to stir up the timeline." And Sam didn't send it, y'all. And I was like, "Man, y'all done corporated Sam, man. Sam wouldn't even ask that question a couple years ago, man. Sam would have just fired that tweet out and then called me later, like, I got the boys riled up." The fact that Sam had to think about it, he was like, "Nah, man, I ain't gonna do it today. Yeah. I'm gonna chill." See, y'all don't make Sam corporate, man. I just want to point that out, man.
I held off on that. I was like, I really got one in the chamber on this.
He got what? But listen, there'll be other days.
Yeah, definitely, man. But I appreciate you guys, man. Thank y'all for liking the pod. Thank y'all for subscribing to the pod. Thank y'all for being patient with the pod. And
Definitely, man.
We'll be back. I don't know when. I'm going to definitely try to get y'all something out, though.
I can tell you we're not doing an instant reaction to the Raging Cajuns. So if y'all looking for that, it won't happen. Let me be clear. We'll definitely do it.
I'm going to try to get a guest this week for the Raging Cajun. Not for the Raging Cajun game, but I'm sorry, like a guest.
For Florida?
Just to talk this week. But not this, well, probably Sunday, but you know,
yeah.
I'm trying to get a guess.
All right. Man, if I don't holler at y'all, you know, go nose on that Florida game. If I'm not here to react to it, you better believe I'm gonna get my words off. But listen, man, hit that subscribe button if you haven't. Rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff, man. We out of here.
Yo, Brian got a problem. Them big breath.